Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are back with Ken Hamilton and me, Sandy Beach. And on the line, we have our caller, Dan from West Seneca, who graciously decided to hold. Okay, continue your discussion with us, Dan.
Yeah, he was talking about assets, money.
The opportunity. I'm going to use a prominent personality as a parallel to the Catholic Church and its current fiscal problems. And I would like to answer one question Mr. Hamilton kind of aired. The Catholic Church really is the original franchise system. So if you're a parish, you have to pay a diocesan fee, and then you can be a parish within that diocesan. Then if you're a diocese of the Catholic Church, you have to pay a fee to Rome. And what a lot of people didn't understand is back in 2000, when that year had occurred, which was in essence the 2000th anniversary of the Catholic Church, Rome forgave all debt because most of the churches were in the rear with their obligations to the Holy See, okay? So having said that, and I believe that's 100% factual, I'm going to go back to the bankruptcy, and I was a little surprised, Sandy, you're really an intelligent guy and everything, and sometimes we agree to disagree, but I was actually, you shocked me a little bit because I know that you like Donald Trump, so I'm going to use him metaphorically, and then I'm going to ask a question. Mr. Trump, the businessman, even Jim Kelly, the legendary Buffalo Bill quarterback, they both filed bankruptcy. Mr. Trump, the businessman, four times, and Jim Kelly, the businessman with the bar downtown near Chippewa, once. And at the time, it was viewed as that was a strategic move. In fact, right now, there's a bankruptcy with a nursing home, and it's being applauded as a wonderful strategic move for that business so they can reorganize, continue to operate, and get rid of their debt loads.
But there's one thing you're missing. I see what you're setting up. The thing you're missing is Jim Kelly did not promise that if you follow him and you do what he says, that your soul will go to heaven. He didn't promise you any heavenly trip. Those are plain businesses. Okay, the common denominator may be the bankruptcy filing, but the product is totally different. I don't think that cutting the money out from under the lawsuits and preventing, as we just heard in the last newscast, the discovery process for any future litigation, that doesn't side like that should be something the church is doing.
You know, I can see that there's a moral argument there, but I'm going to say this. Religion has become a business. If you took a look at a Jimmy Swaggart or that new young guy who's so dynamic with the mega church in Houston.
You're not talking about Joel Osteen, are you?
Yes, he is.
Osteen. So, yeah, no, I'm equal opportunity here, and I'll take the criticism.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, you know, they're selling ladders and hoses. The other is selling salvation.
Hey, Dan, before you go any further on that, and this is to amplify your point, is that the church had always been a business. If you go back to Judas Iscariot being one of the disciples, he was there to handle the contributions that people would make towards Christ's ministry. And if you examine the scriptures very, very carefully, looking at it from a business perspective, that the Caiaphas and Ananias, the high priest in the temple, could care less about Christ's ministry. It was that those contributions that would have normally gone to the temple we're now starting to go into Christ's ministry. And so it's always been a business aspect.
Now, I can't give you chapter and verse, but I do recall one sermon where Christ handed out to various people a valuable coin, and he wanted to see what they would do with it. And one of them, you know, dug a hole and put it in there or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the parable of the talents.
The one that got the praise was the one who made it grow.
Made it grow.
Okay, so that's a business decision, isn't it?
And let's go back to another where Christ was asked by the Pharisees, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And Christ says, do you have a coin? And they said, yes. Whose image is on the coin? He said, it is Caesar's. And Christ said, render unto Caesar the things of Caesar and unto God the thing of God. Now, let's put this in the same perspective, and I think the direction that Dan is going, that if they wanted to sue the church for moral purposes of not following their own, you know, tenets, then they would have to go to God to sue them. But they went into the civil courts, and the bankruptcy laws and all of the laws concerning that of lawsuits were written by the government, and therefore, now you're in Caesar's court. And this is, ironically, this is what got John in trouble. The disciple John is when he stood on his right as a Roman to plead to Caesar about what Herod was doing.
However, aren't the priests employees of the church? And if they're employees of the church is responsible for them.
I don't know if they, Dan, are they considered employees? I mean, because nuns don't get paid or something, so they're not employees. They do get stipends.
Well, nuns and priests are different. They may serve similar purposes, but they are different. Are they employees, Dan? Do you know? Dan, where
did
Dan
we lose him?
Hello, Dan. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, he's gone.
I know. I heard his voice. I heard him say yes.
That was somebody else? I'm sorry, Dan. We didn't mean to hang up on you. That's just the way it worked out. But if you know, if you'd like to call back, if they're considered employees.
Or if anyone else knows the answer.
And are they subject to the same rules of workplace as we are, for instance?
I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot we don't know.
Unfortunately. Oh. We'll be back with more of Beach & Company on News Radio. We can't even keep the phone on. On News Radio 930 WBN. No, what's really disturbing to me, Buffalo has not done it yet. I don't know if they will. I hope they don't. But Rochester just did. The Diocese of Rochester has declared bankruptcy. It's a breaking story this morning. And I find it so cheesy because you know what it says? Here's what it says. You're a parishioner. You believe in the church, the Holy Catholic Church. And somebody representing the church, a priest, say the allegation is true. The allegation that a priest defiled you, that's the first thing. The second thing is if they declare bankruptcy and cut you off at the knees as far as any kind of compensation, they showed you that they had better lawyers than you do. Something's wrong with that equation. Yeah, you're there to worship your God, and they're there to protect their assets. Something's wrong with that. Let's go to Terry in Snyder. Terry, you're on WBEN.
Well, good morning, and first of all, I'm drinking the same Kool-Aid as Ken Hamilton. I mean, he is so spot on today. This is the Ken Hamilton show.
Ken is a learned man.
You asked a couple questions. When it concerns Rochester, I think we got to deal in reality, and reality is, and with clarity, of course they were going to go bankrupt. What do you expect is going to happen when you have that many lawsuits? And that's reality. So, and to the Buffalo Diocese, as you know, I'm going to keep my faith with God and my relationship with God with my Catholic Church or without it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because that's what it's about.
No, it's a conduct. It's like a wire that runs between us. I want that to be successful, and I respect and realize there are real cases. But, you know, Sandy, I'm sorry, but you keep saying the word cheesy. I'm going to use the word, instead of cheesy, money grab.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ken.
It is so unbecoming. Every once in a while, something is unbecoming. I think of the status of a church and the people that worship at that church, it is so unbecoming to take I'll say it again, a cheesy way out with bankruptcy.
Well, I'm going to call it a money grab because the people who have real cases, I want them to be resolved as a Catholic and a practicing Catholic. I want them to resolve the real cases, and there's plenty of real cases. But then all those others that came along after it was announced you have 1 year, from a business standpoint, I know what I would do. I've owned many businesses. The diocese should wait till the day after this year is up of these filings, and the next day, the next business day, then file bankruptcy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Sure. Now you're proving my point. I mean, really. So the church says the money is the important thing. You aren't. The only reason the churches say money is important is because it can help people that they want to help.
And I disagree, and I'll tell you why. They have a responsibility to pay some of those people who have the real suits. But those ones that are like money grabs, and there's a lot of them.
We don't know. They haven't gone to court yet.
Well, let's take them one at a time in the court system, and we should have one lawyer that works on it. And you have to understand, the money the church is made on, it's called the rock, is donated. It's from us, the people. We are the rock.
Well, as we heard a lawyer in the last newscast say that that the discovery process ends when you declare bankruptcy. Well, discovery is where all the good stuff is, where you can get a lot of information that maybe you didn't have before. So it is absolutely, I think, a despicable move for Rochester. I hope Buffalo doesn't do it. And I'm sure the Buffalo assets and the Rochester assets are different. I don't know by how much.
I would just like to say as a caller that I stand very much in line with Ken, and I'm so honored to be here that he's not even a Catholic, and that's how he's thinking so straight. And Sandy, to be honest with you, I think you need to put some more reality into this.
Well, you know what? There's too much reality. You were talking about a church like it was a lumberyard, all right? That is not reality to the people who have suffered because of it. That is not, it's not the same thing. And we all want to be hip and with it and today, but we don't have, it's like when we borrow. We borrow and we pay back. That's what we do. And now you know what? They're not willing to pay back their real debts to the people that worship there.
I think there's a middle ground between Terry and Sandy here.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Terry, you've expressed that those who sincerely have cases should be compensated.
Clearly. And if I...
Well, hold on a second. You know, we agree.
Right, again, because what I'm saying is we can do two things at one time, guys, and that's what's got to be. We need people of common sense and intelligence, and both of you are common sense and intelligence, and that is exactly the point. We can do both. We need to make some settlements. But this thing where everyone's going to think they're going to get millions and millions, listen, what was done was done. Was it a sin? Oh, you betcha. Why do you think I go to church? Thank you.
But okay. the other side of this is Sandy's reality. Let's you know, you've taken one of our previous caller took the Trump situation, the four times, that was Dan, four times in bankruptcy because it was a business decision. But more people have faith in government today than they do in the church. It is pretty evident that, well, because how much playtime do you get on television about politics versus as to the moral values of God? If a politician did something that was of moral perpetuity, and they do, who pays the politician for the politician's fine? And it is the voters.
It's us. We pay for everything.
We pay for everything. So now that if we go to court over something like that, well, actually, what it shows really is that we say that the reality is, and this is what you say, and it should be, that the reality is in believing in what the church stands for, and the church does precisely exactly what it stands for. But it doesn't. But we hold priests and the church to a higher standard than we do the politicians that we ourselves elect, which means that we have to ask the question, do we have more faith in the church doing what it's supposed to do, or the politics doing what they're supposed to do? And if it's the church, then we would not have these issues in the first place, because then we would all be worshiping God and have that higher value. And then, again, and I said this yesterday, that the church has always been diluted by what's happening in the world around it. And so if we were better people, and the church, we would have a better church. And you say this show, give me a better show, and I'll give you a better review. If we were better people, then the church would be getting a better review today. But all of these things that are happening in the church are things that happen in society. If I go back to Terry's perspective, Terry's point on this is that the reason that they are being sued is because they have money that have access. Do these people need to be compensated? We've talked about this. What degree, what amount of compensation can change anything in their lives? I think that the opportunity for them, the big opportunity is here in the lawsuit itself, is that the church can begin to correct some of the practices of not hiding these priests, et cetera.
Well, I feel like I'm in a strange position because I'm not a practicing Catholic. I was raised Catholic. But I hold them and any other church to a higher standard. Who do you believe more, the person that owns Walmart or the spokesperson for God? I mean, there have to be different standards. And I don't think that the cheesy business standard that might apply to a lumberyard is the same standard that applies to a church. The churches get certain things that regular businesses get. They should be held to a higher standard.
Well, you know, the ministry itself of Christ is that each of us are supposed to be speaking for God based upon what our personal actions are in our own lives. You are the last Bible that anybody would ever see, or the first Bible that a lot of people would see, and that it is your personal life as a Christian, as a Catholic or whatever, that is the spokesperson for God. Not just the priest, not just the cardinal, the bishop, the pope, or anything. It is to all of us to act in a way that we love God with all of our heart and love our neighbors, we love ourselves.
Okay. Mr. Beamer, give me a, because we don't have time to go to the phones again, give me a text.
Nick says, I think this was the wrong move for the Rochester Diocese. Now victims will not have their stories heard or will be overshadowed by the bankruptcy. I hope the Buffalo Diocese is better than that.
Well, the victims will have the opportunity. If they file, they still get their date in court. The 1 year is a filing restriction, not a case restriction. These cases could go on for years.
What worries me is about discovery, though. If they can't get the information they need, there might be, say you're suing the diocese, and the diocese has a big file because you're accusing Mr. or Father X over there or something wrong. They have a file on it. They did an investigation on it. The discovery, once you declare bankruptcy, my understanding is in the last newscast that you don't get discovery.
Well, I'm not an attorney or anything. I haven't even played one on television or anything. But because this is a discovery about assets, it does not take what the DA can do because of the actual cases.
Okay, we'll be back with... Let's see, live court TV. That's what we'll call
it. And I might be wrong on that, too.
News Radio 930, WBN with Ken Hamilton.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sounds like Seinfeld, but it's not. It is Beach & Company. Ken Hamilton is with us. Glad to have him aboard. We learned after we were just about to start the show that the Rochester Diocese, the Catholic Diocese of Rochester, has declared bankruptcy. So we're asking if you think the Buffalo Diocese will and whether the Buffalo Diocese should do the same thing. And we get to talk about it being really a business move. Certainly, it's nothing evangelical about it, but I think that doing it is the cheesy way out regarding Catholic Church, yes? Oh, yeah, so you're pointing, so I'll read that?
Oh, no.
You're pointing at Beamer. Okay,
To Ken's point that ended the last segment, according to the Democrat and Chronicle out of Rochester, the bankruptcy halts all action on civil suits that have been filed against it and shifts those claims to bankruptcy proceedings. So it could be years before you hear any of these stories. I do think it's a temporary attempt to silence those who have come
down.
Forward.
Yeah, slow it down or stop it.
Yeah,
in law, it's called an estoppel and whatnot.
I understand. This is a Texas Great Show, guys. I'm a faithful Catholic, and guess what? The church will not get one more dime of my money. I think I will still make it to heaven, signed Jim. Oh, good. Call me. I'll go with you.
Jim, you're going to bust hell wide open.
let's go to Steve in Amherst. Steve, you're on WBEN.
Okay, guys. It goes like this. Give to God what is God, you know, and give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. And I'm fine with that. But I'd like to charge Mr. Poloncarz, Mr. Flynn, and all our good government officials with the crime, because I look out my back window and see an MJ Peterson building, and I know there's people back there who have been pedophiles and had to go to prison for it. Why don't the people in the church ever get charged for what they do wrong and go do some hard time for it and try to reform themselves?
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Good question. I guess it would depend on the situation.
Hey, let's go back to Jim
on
giving your money.
The one going back to heaven?
Right. You know, you're giving the church your money. You're not giving the church the money. You're giving the money back to God, who owns it anyway. And it's a show of your uncontriteness and your stewardship. You're just doing it through the church. If you want to do that, and that's fine, but find another ministry that you could give that money to that's doing some of the good things that the Catholic Church has been doing.
Yeah, because that's the fallback position, and it's a good one, that we do good work with the people. We help people with it, and that's why we have to stay funded and have to protect our assets. I understand all of that. But what I'm saying is I very much believe in standards. And I believe that if you give somebody something like authority, all right, it's a higher standard. Here's some authority for you. You don't misuse it. If you hand money over to the church to do good with the people, and somebody embezzles it, they're held to a higher standard.
Right, and they're held to that standard, not you, the person who's making the donation. That if you feel that what you're giving to God is not being used for godly purposes, then find some place that you can feel comfortable in giving to that particular ministry or that charity that is fulfilling, you know, the tenets of Christ.
I understand what you're saying. Okay, Mr. Beamer, Joe Beamer, what do you have for us in Facebook?
Sandy says, I don't understand the whole thing. I was raised Catholic, but left the church when I was 19. The more that comes out, the more I'm glad that I left and will never look back.
It's amazing. It's such an important part of religion is a very important part of a lot of people's lives. It's the court of last resort for some people. That's when they end up going there, when the last resort, when the sentence is about to be read. But the bottom line is, it's not Walmart. It's not Walmart, and the rules should not be the same as if they are. If they're your employees and they committed a crime against somebody, they should be treated like a criminal, like they are.
Well, I cannot contest that. But then we start to look at the person itself, the parishioner, the congregant, the people who are actually in the church, the entire church, and every church is composed of very, very flawed people who are led with people who have flaws.
Not me.
Following an organization that has a document that is flawed, trying to find the grace of God, the perfection of Christ, and the grace of God in order to live a peaceful life and eventually, hopefully, you know, get into heaven forever. And so we're looking at an organization that was based on flaw. I was the president of the Niagara Falls Library Board of Trustees. A fellow comes up to me and he says to me one day, he says, Mr. Hamilton, why don't you try to run that library like you run a business? I says, you're absolutely right, because I got tired of people saying that. And so I says, you're absolutely right, but could you do me a favor? Now he's willing to help me. And he says, well, what can I do? I says, could you find me a business that spends all of his money to allow people to use things for free?
For free.
And so the church is a different type of a business. It's like a library in a sense that you can look at it as a business because the library is a business. But you can look at the other side for the purposes for which they're in business and say, are we fulfilling that?
I guess the argument, though, is what is their first priority? Their parishioners, the people they're trying to get to heaven, or themselves? That's what it is. It's a decision so that we can practice the way we want to practice right now so we don't lose our assets. Or the person here who spent their lives on their knees looking at heaven, praying under our auspices. What's more important? And I say that the people are more important. And that if they do the bankruptcy thing, they've shown what's more important to them. That's the living proof right there. Protect the assets. Make sure they don't get this. Hide this. I mean, come on. That's what we expect from the mafia, not from the church.
Well, there's two sides to that, too, because the person, the parishioner, was taught to forgive. And the church was taught to forgive. And I'm thinking in many cases, and I think I heard somebody said at one point that you have to forgive these priests. And these were, I think it was a bishop someplace, forgive the priests for what they've done, work with them to change their ways. Well, the parishioner themselves, we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. I'm not Catholic or anything, but I'm not going to say not anything. I'm not Catholic, and that's just a statement. But even in any Christian religion, the tenet is to forgive.
Okay. I have nothing wrong with that.
So it exists on both sides of that equation. And so when you start to try to deconstruct this and say where the culpability is, yes, there is culpability. Yes, there are people out there who's going to file that probably don't have a case. And yes, no matter what you do, that you're not going to change the past. Money will not help you with the future. But the issue is that with all of this happening, it will get the church to begin to look at itself again to make sure that these things don't happen, and they've repeated themselves through history.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is that if you commit a sin, there's a payment made for that sin. You have to do something for that sin to repay it. What are they doing to repay the aggrieved parties who have been offended all of these years by what happened to them as children?
Well, I didn't take the catechism or anything, but see, in my way of worship, that any sin that I have committed that has already been paid by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross.
All right, sure. Okay,
and so, and this is...
Had to play the trump card, didn't you? What am I supposed to do? I'm a talk show host. Give me a break. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN. I know, Ken, you mentioned yesterday that you needed a new date for this opportunity to give David Bellavia the key to the city of Niagara Falls.
Well, it's more than just a key to the city. There's going to be an event. It's going to be a fundraiser for the purposes of him helping out the folks who had served with him as fellow soldiers in Fallujah. The event was scheduled for September the 29th, but we're going to do it instead on Saturday, October the 12th. And the public is invited to an event. It's going to be at 3 p.m. that day, titled Duty First with David Bellavia, Serving Community and Country, where on behalf of the citizens of the city, Niagara Falls Mayor Paul Dyster will honor Staff Sergeant Bellavia with the key to the city. And Bellavia will speak to the audience. He'll also sign copies of his book, which is called House to House, A Soldier's Memoir, which you'll be able to buy on site, or if you want to bring your own, he can autograph those. And it's going to be October the 12th at the Rapids Theater on Main Street in downtown Niagara Falls by the grace of John Hutchins. He's the guy who thought about this. It's $22, deuce, because that's the name of the, it's a fundraiser, and it's this. And it's deuce because that's the name of the unit, the 22nd. And so there's going to be a luncheon at noon, and you could get additional information from davidbellavia.com, davidbellavia.com. We'll be putting out more information about this, but, you know, you really need to be there. If we really support our veterans, we have one veteran, a Medal of Honor awardee, that you could go ahead and support face-to-face and hear his story. He would be speaking, and this would be the first such fundraiser in the nation that he's going to do. It's going to be recorded. We're going to have video there. And so Niagara Falls, Western New York, will be highlighted in this, as well as John and his wonderful, wonderful Rapids Theater.
Very deserving. Thank you, Ken Hamilton. Ken does a lot of things like that. Not everybody knows it. He spends a lot of time. There's a lot on his plate. Not as much as Puckett's, but still, a lot. let's go to Phil Arno, the general in charge of WBBC Television. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Sandy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I always like it when I see your name up on the screen because you always have lots of good things to add. Well, what are you thinking about today?
This is there's a lot of elements to this situation that people might not consider. You know, there's rightly so, there's a lot of anger. And if this was 100 or 150 years ago, I can picture this situation as a bunch of people walking down Main Street with torches and pitchforks.
Sure.
And stuff. Yeah. Because it basically, if you look at it, it seems to be a follow-the-leader mob mentality. Now, the anger is genuine, and there's reason for it, okay? And changes need to be made. But when people attack basically a general subject, such as the church, and general arguments such as things have to be changed and people haven't made the right decisions in charge of this, a lot of the people who are the critics, had they been in the same position as, say, the bishop, I don't think they would have handled the situation any better. And for instance, there's a priest that I know very well who's circulating a petition, and he's threatening other priests that if they don't sign the petition, he's going to print a list of all the priests who didn't sign in. And they're going to be, you know, embarrassed because they didn't come out against.
Yeah, ostracized, putting pressure on them.
And that's a bully tactic that is, he should be ashamed of himself.
Absolutely.
Behavior, is that any better than what he's criticizing? Now,
hey, Mr. Arno, and that would go on to support what you're saying.
No, call him Phil.
Phil.
Phil, you don't mind if I allow him to call you Phil, do you?
My dad was Mr. Arno.
Thank you. Phil, we're always happy to talk to you.
And I thank you, Mr. Beach, for correcting me.
Call me Mr. Beach. Thank you.
And this kind of gives credence, more strength to what you're saying about if he were the bishop, he would have done it exactly the same way or more like what the bishop has already handled it. We don't know all of the things that the bishop had to consider and, you know, balancing act that they have to do. So, yeah, that's a good point. With the priest who is bullying the other priest, that kind of a person is the kind of person that you hope will never become a bishop.
Yeah, he's got an anger, you know, and it stems from an abuse that he suffered, but the anger is blinding him to the situation. So there's a criticism there. It's a lashing out, really, of a victim. And aside from that, I heard some callers yesterday, and previous to this call, talking about not supporting the church, you know, holding back because of this situation. And if you really look at the big picture, you know, the Catholic Church is the single greatest influence on organized religion and faith in the world, okay? It structures people's dedication to religion, to faith, to God. And when you attack, when you say don't support it, okay, you have anger, and you're not supporting a problem, a behavior that should have been corrected and wasn't corrected, or, you know, all those things that we don't really know all the details about. But you're saying, let's withdraw our support. Essentially, what's happening is it becomes an attack on the church.
But, Phil, I think people feel helpless because any person as an individual, what do I do? There's this big organized religion. Lots of people believe in it. Lots of people revere it. I'm just a lowly person. I'm an individual. I don't have any standing. I'm just a regular guy. I think they feel frustrated.
Well, there are ways to donate to support Catholic activities that you know, you may make a statement. You're not going to contribute to a specific diocese, or you're not going to contribute to a specific support for the bishop's causes in this direction or in that direction. But there are so many activities that really do so much good in the community. You don't want to withhold from that. And you also don't want to damage the church to the point where it can't help people.
Well, that's the key.
Yeah.
That is the key. That's the only reason I can give them 100% get-out-of-jail-free card for, is that they do need money to help people. So that's a legitimate, viable answer.
Absolutely. And pulling your support is like crucifying Christ again. I mean, it's like...
But the last thing is, you don't want to take religion out of people's lives.
Well, that's true. Hey, Phil, always a pleasure. You ought to drop by and sit in that chair sometime. You'd be a lot better looking than Ken.
No argument.
Take care, Phil. Always good to talk to you, man.
All right, Andy. Take care.
Okay, goodbye. That about wraps it up. Ken, my dear friend, thank you for coming in today. It's always a better show when you're here.
I have to make up for all of the time I missed.
Yeah. You got a lot of making up to do, man. All right, that about wraps it up. We'll see you Monday at 9 a.m. on News Radio 930 WBN.
The Sandy Beach WBEN studio rings out in support of those who rang the Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center victory bell today in celebration of a victory, large or small.
Elvis has left the building.
Oh, I wish we never had to leave the beach.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.